You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 team.
Oh, hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, who, as you may or may not have heard, won the World Series a few months ago. We bring you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with Vince Samperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Jeff. It's been... we have news to talk about for somewhat, and a goodbye to a... I don't know, Dodgers... I don't know what the final verdict on him's going to be, but a goodbye nonetheless.
Yeah, at least by the standards of this current offseason, it's news. The Dodgers roster didn't actually change any, but it's news nonetheless. We're going to talk about Pedro Baez and some rumors about Marcell Ozuna. So that's the plan for today. But first, we want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right. So let's talk about Baez first. Pedro Baez signed with the Astros, a 2-year contract. He got decent money. Like I didn't see the final numbers. It seems like it's like roughly $15 million guaranteed, right?
One I remember was Passan. It said 12 to 14 million, but with escalators and other things and a buyout. So yeah, somewhere in that general area.
Yeah. So, I would think that's more than maybe we were expecting Pedro Baez to get. And, I think it's probably more than any Dodger fan would have been happy with the Dodgers giving Pedro Baez. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. If, let's just say it is 2 years, 14 mil with no escalators, no nothing, just straight up. I mean, that's almost as much as Joe Kelly got. And you can debate what Joe Kelly's contract is, but basically he would have been the second highest paid reliever on the Dodgers after the 2021 season if that was the case. So it's good for him that he got that money. The Astros had money to burn after Liam Hendricks didn't sign with them, after Blake Treinen didn't sign with them. So they seemingly had some money to burn in the reliever area. So that's good for him. It sucks that he's going there, but you know, there's the hashtag undercover Dodger element coming where he's going to blow a big game for the Astros. And we can say, there's the PD I know.
Yeah. And when you're a middle reliever, you kind of don't have, you know, you take what you could get. You know, if he was a closer or a position player or something, I could see taking a stand on principle of saying, I'm not going to sign with the Astros after they stole a World Series ring from me. But as a middle reliever, you know, I assume he didn't get that same offer from any other team, and you kind of got to take it. And maybe the Astros understand that where they're at reputation-wise right now, they have to overpay a little bit to get free agents to sign there. I thought it was interesting that I think he will now be the only player on the Astros with a legitimate World Series ring, won't he?
Yeah, I'm not sure if they've got anyone else in the last couple years, but yeah, he's going to be the one with a real ring to be proud of, not like the other ones.
Yeah, because Verlander lost a World Series with the Tigers, but I can't think of anybody on the Astros who has won a legitimate World Series. So Pedro can go there and he can show those Astros what it's like to be a true world champion. And, you know, maybe it'll rub off on him, some of them. Maybe Carlos Correa's bones will thicken up or something. I'm not sure what the effect is of winning a legitimate World Series title. I don't know if it has any osteoporotic benefits, but, you know, whatever. But as far as the Dodgers go on this Baez signing, it doesn't really affect them. I don't think any of us were really expecting Baez to come back. It's kind of funny. Like we talked about who was most likely to come back and whatever. And it wasn't necessarily a sure thing that Baez wasn't coming back, although it became more of a sure thing as the Dodgers have signed other relievers recently. Obviously they hit the last game he played with the Dodgers was the World Series. He didn't pitch in that game. But winning the World Series was the last thing he did with the Dodgers. So, but it's kind of a quiet living with a whimper just because no fans in the stands and everything. And the Astros will be coming to Dodger Stadium, and hopefully there will be fans in the stadium by the time the Astros show up in LA later this year. And so I assume they will give Baez his ring then and maybe have a little bit of a welcome back video like they did, you know, when the Reds came to town in 2019. But yeah, just kind of a weird ending to Pedro Baez, who you and I were talking before we started recording. It's kind of easy to forget that he has been a Dodger for a long, 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 long time.
Yeah, actually, he did pitch game six. So at least we do have a fond memory to go by.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, to go by Pedro Baez getting two outs in game six rather than blowing the lead twice in game four. But yeah, I mean, Pedro Baez, he's been with the Dodgers in the majors since 2014. And honestly, if you look at just ERA, if you're a Nationals fan and you just go look at his ERA, from 2014 to 2020, pitching at least 50 games in the middle years. His first year, he only threw 20 games. Last year, 18 because of the shortened season. But 263, 335, 304, 295, 288, 310, 318. I mean, he's had a pretty solid career as a reliever. That's pretty consistent right there. You know, the FIP has been up and down a little bit, but still a 361 career FIP. He's made the numbers. He's made adjustments. We know he added the changeup and that he should have used more in game four. But regardless of that, he had some big blowups early in his career in the postseason and always seemed to have one almost every year throughout it. Overall, was a solid reliever, gave the Dodgers what they need and was cheap, and now he'll go on, make more money, and pitch for the Astros and go on with his career. So it's good for him. Kind of an interesting, the fact that he's been there so long, and even though he's just the middle reliever, I know the Pedro Baez bobblehead had gotten some traction a little bit on Dodgers Twitter. It is kind of crazy of all the bobbleheads they give out and of a bunch of guys that have had multiple bobbleheads that he's been there so long and did never get one.
Yeah, Brian Wilson got a Dodgers bobblehead. Manny Machado got a Dodgers bobblehead.
Joe Kelly right away.
Pedro never did.
Joe Bimel had one back in the day.
Joe Bimel had one? Well, I guess he was a contributor for a few years. But yeah, when the Dodgers signed Pedro Baez, I only had one kid. My wife was pregnant with my son, who is currently a teenager. So that's how long Pedro's been in the Dodgers organization.
And he was a third baseman.
Yeah, and he was a third baseman. He was a 17-year-old third baseman back then. So, we wish, obviously, the best to Pedro Baez. Now there's at least one guy on the Astros who we can maybe cheer for a little bit. Obviously not too much. And hopefully we do see some undercover Dodger when the Dodgers do play the Astros. But maybe it's the first step for the Astros towards reestablishing some respectability.
Yeah, Pedro Baez, the complete picture of respectability.
Yep. All right, so we're going to come back in a little bit, and we're going to talk about the Marcell Ozuna rumors and what that might mean. So keep it locked on, Dodgers. All right, so the NFL playoffs are going on. We're done with round one, and things are starting to shape up and get pretty exciting if you are into gambling. And if you are, there's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. That is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use promo code LOCKEDON. And you will get a 50% welcome bonus. So don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. We also want to talk to you about Rock Auto. RockAuto.com is an online auto parts dealer. Last time I counted, there's 50 zillion different kinds of cars. And if you go down to an auto parts store, they're not going to have all the parts you need. They're going to have either generic parts, or if you want the ones that are actually made for your car, they're going to have to order them in for you anyway. There's just no reason to go down there, especially when rockauto.com exists. You can go online. You have a computer. You have the internet. Do it yourself. Go on. Find the part you need. They're going to have it, and you can order it. And guess what? It will cost you a lot less than it would have at the auto parts store anyway, because Rock Auto doesn't charge more for regular Joes than they do for mechanics. They charge the same low price to everybody. It's a family-owned business. They have great parts, great customer service. If you happen to order the wrong part, which I've done once, they make it easy to return it. It's super easy and super convenient. So if you go to rockauto.com, You will find all the auto parts your car will ever need. Sometimes I wish that we had the actual commercial. I'm going to sing the jingle. All the parts your car will ever need, Rock Auto. And when they ask how you heard about them, tell them Locked On sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, and as I sang, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. All right, 2020 is mercifully over. It's time for a fresh start and a few more wins. If you're betting this year and want more wins, listen to Locked On Bets with your boy Q and Lee Sterling of Paramount Sports. They are picking college basketball, football, and NBA locks all winter long. Subscribe to Locked On Bets wherever you get podcasts. All right, Vince, let's talk about Marcell Ozuna and what that might mean. There was a report from a reporter out of the Dominican Republic saying that the Dodgers were one of the teams in communication with Marcell Ozuna. And then later, I think it was John Morosi that also mentioned that. And around that same time, a clip showed up of Ken Rosenthal on a radio show. And they asked him, do you think the National League will have the DH in 2021? And Rosenthal said yes. And so I tweeted something kind of snarky, which basically as if both sides wanting the universal DH wasn't enough evidence to think it's going to happen. Now we have Rosenthal saying it's going to happen, and we have the Dodgers being interested in a guy who is kind of the definition of a DH at this point in his career. But, you know, what are your thoughts? What were your thoughts when you heard the Dodgers linked to Ozuna? Had Ozuna crossed your mind at all for a Dodger?
He hadn't crossed my mind because I hadn't – we've discussed before the Dodgers with DH and what we think they're going to do. And I had mentioned Nelson Cruz as being kind of the guy that I would want if they were going to go the way of a full-time DH. Now, Marcell Ozuna can technically still play left field if you really need to, whereas Nelson Cruz, I don't think he can really play the outfield at all unless it was an absolute emergency situation. So Marcell Ozuna does give you a little bit more value in that sense. And he's coming off one of his best years. I mean, he's in, you go to the StatCast page or Baseball Savant page, and he's in the 95-plus percentile for exit velocity, hard hit, you know, expected batting average, expected slugging, barrel percentage. He had a really good year last year, and he helped. I mean, he already contributed to the Dodger World Series win last year by coming off the base early and helping out in that sense. But he'd be a perfect guy for right-handed bat and to be the DH if that's what they're expecting, and to just be a formidable force in the middle of that lineup. So it makes sense if the Dodgers are going to go that route. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, if they do go that route, does that mean that they kind of back off third base and maybe let Rios and or others fill in? Or do they, you know, reinforce third base and do Ozuna and just go all out for it? It's going to be a lot of different things. So I don't mind it, but it's going to be contingent on what they do end up doing at third base and how much money it costs, obviously.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to see them signing Ozuna and Justin Turner, just because even if we think Turner can hold down third base, and I know that's debatable, I think he would be fine in 2021 as the third baseman, but he is a guy who has always needed some days off. And, you know, obviously one of the ways to do that, if they do have the DH, is to give him a partial day off where he has the day off of defense and just hits. And obviously if you have Ozuna, if you have a dedicated DH, it's funny that we all just talk about Ozuna as being a DH. He's spent his entire career in the National League. He had never been a DH until this past season when the DH was in the National League. But if he is the Dodgers' designated DH, then, yeah, there isn't that opportunity, like you said, for JT to get a day off his feet and just be hitting. And so maybe that would... I still don't see them just giving the job to Edwin Rios just because he is left-handed. He has a lot of power. I almost feel like Edwin Rios maybe has more benefit as a strategic pinch hitter and an occasional spot starter, whatever, where you can pick your battles, pick who he's going up against. I don't know. But I wonder if they were to sign Ozuna, if we see them shift more towards a DJ LeMahieu type of signing, somebody who can be your everyday third baseman rather than almost everyday third baseman like Justin Turner, and just give the DH spot to Marcell Ozuna. Or, you know, maybe we see You know, I'm talking about Edwin Rios and how I'm not sold on him being an everyday player. Well, maybe that means he's trade bait in a, you know, a Matt Chapman trade or a Nolan Arenado trade. Can you imagine Edwin Rios playing in Colorado every day? So anyway, there's so many different interesting scenarios that this Ozuna news brings up, because it really would be a departure from what the Dodgers have done, but it also makes a ton of sense because they want a right-handed bat and he's probably the best right-handed hitter available.
Yeah, and that's the guy, that's the type of guy, as we've mentioned all offseason so far, that the Dodgers can only really truly upgrade in a few ways. Right now, third base is the most obvious upgrade, but a big power right-handed bat, or not necessarily power, but a big right-handed bat is the other way to upgrade regardless of how it comes. And Marcelo Zuna would be the way that comes. And like I said, they can figure out third base, or they can go a little bit cheaper route, find something else, or, you know, like I said, it just opens up so many other things. It opens up like a potential Edwin Rios being dealt, or maybe some of the other guys getting dealt that are a little bit younger. Whatever else it is, it just opens up a lot of things. And it opens up, you know, if they don't end up getting Ozuna, there seems to be a lot of teams linked to him right now. Maybe it does open up a conversation with a guy like Nelson Cruz, or I'm not sure there's any other DH-only types out there. But those are kind of the two best right-handed bats that aren't from the Astros available in free agency. So I personally like it. I would prefer the Dodgers have a kind of a guy that's a only DH type that's just there to hit. You know, it's lower versatility, lower value in a certain sense. But the Dodgers, they're in a place where they have a bunch of young talent all over the place. You know, Cody Bellinger doesn't really need days off. Mookie Betts won't really need days off. Corey Seager won't really need days off. There's not a lot of guys that are going to need days off. They're all relatively young, and they have enough guys off the bench to give those guys days off, whether it's, you know, just to get them off their feet or just to give them a whole day off. So it makes sense for them to attack their offense this way and maximize it however they can possible.
Yeah, you mentioned Nelson Cruz, and one thing that I like more about Ozuna than Cruz is Ozuna, you could put him in left field once in a while. Yeah. You know, you could make an argument that he wouldn't even be the worst Dodgers left fielder in the last few years, because I think defensively he's probably better than Matt Kemp at this point. A lot of Cruz's negative defensive value comes from his arm, where he's had some issues with his arm injury-wise and whatever. And obviously we all remember the botched trying to rob a home run in St. Louis and everything. And so we remember that. I don't think he's as bad as that play would indicate. And he's more athletic than a guy like Matt Kemp, you know, so actually getting around. So, you know, Nelson Cruz would just be a DH. And I think with Ozuna, you could get away with, you know, starting him in left field once every 2 or 3 weeks if you had to. So there's a little bit of positional flexibility maybe. And there's the fact that Nelson Cruz is 800 years old, and eventually that's got to catch up to him. And I'd rather have the Dodgers not be the team paying him when eventually that does catch up to him.
You said, and I had mentioned earlier about him being able to play left field. Yeah, if the Dodgers are comfortably in a playoff position or comfortably ahead in the division, and the dog days are coming up in September or whatever else it is, yeah, Ozuna can go play left field and they can give someone else a day off on their feet. So that is the benefit of going after him. Plus he's younger, and if you sign him to a multi-year deal, you still have probably 2 or 3 years of that and before he maybe becomes a detriment in left field, like a super detriment.
Absolutely. And then my last thing is, yesterday I was just driving around and I just started daydreaming while I was driving. And I decided that the Dodgers need to trade for Mike Trout. I'm not sure how they would make it happen. But, you know, I know people like A.J. Pollock, but I'm telling you, Mike Trout should be the Dodgers left fielder in 2021. Andrew Friedman, if you're listening, and I know you are, make it happen. Go to the Angels. You know, you've dealt with them before. And maybe Artie Moreno won't boycott this, or not the word, cancel this trade. So, yeah, but Marcelo Ozuna would be a decent consolation prize if the Dodgers can't trade for Mike Trout.
Trout, if you're out there and listening to this, you know, demand a trade. You saw James Harden in the NBA just get traded by demanding it. Just demand it, man. You need to get out of there, getting back into the playoffs.
I want to say something about that. I don't follow basketball. You know that. I don't care about basketball. I'm vaguely aware of what's going on. But I've seen a lot of people, and we talked about this a few weeks ago about the NBA offseason compared to the MLB offseason. And I saw another tweet today that said there was more excitement today in the NBA than there has been in the whole MLB offseason. And I get that. I understand what people are saying. But what happened in the NBA today was a disgruntled player on a team that has become really bad force his way out of a situation, and now you have at least one fan base that's upset, and maybe two, because apparently the return wasn't great for what they got, you know. So there's going to be there's nothing good about the James Harden situation that any fan of MLB should ever want to emulate. You've got James Harden, who is theoretically one of the best players in basketball, and he's now bounced around. He's been traded a couple times in the last few years. Same with Russell Westbrook. He's been traded a few times. You know, if your league is in a situation where the best players are getting traded because they're unhappy or because their teams are giving up or whatever, that's not the kind of excitement I want in Major League Baseball. And maybe I'm alone in that, but yeah, no thank you.
It's not your team and it's not your drama. It's all fun. It's all good. And I'll take, you know, if Mike Trout forced his way out of Anaheim, I'm not going to be upset at that. I'm going to be happy about it. And I would like to see how it plays out. You know, it's obviously way different. Basketball can be more dominated by one player than any other sport. But, you know, if the Dodgers are finely tuned oil machine just rolling and all the other teams have drama and all this, I'm going to take it.
Yeah, and I know, you know, the Dodgers did just benefit from that last year, getting Mookie Betts, and the Indians just traded Francisco Lindor for similar reasons, although neither of them were disgruntled. That was teams making the decision, not teams having the decision forced upon them, and that's two examples in the last 2 years rather than the NBA has two or three of these every offseason of, all right, we're just going to change up all of everything because this guy's not happy or because our competitive window has run its course after a season and a half and we got to retool or whatever. So, I'm not a fan.
People in Houston are upset too. So that's another benefit of what today was.
That's true. And, did you see my joke on Twitter about Pedro Baez and James Harden?
Yeah, I did. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Very topical, Jeff.
Yeah. It's my understanding that James Harden let himself get fat in the offseason. Is that right?
Yeah. He came back a little bit out of shape and hasn't really played his way into shape yet.
Okay, so it was funny when I said that big fat Pedro Baez weighed the same as James Harden?
Yes.
Good. Big fat James Harden. All right, I got nothing else. You done for today, Vince?
I'm done.
If you haven't yet, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, go ahead and subscribe there. That will help other people find us. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number is 323-863-LOCK-5625. You can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text there anytime you want. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles.
Do you think we'll really win the pennant?
Bye!